the Lord for the opportunity. I was just thinking 47 years ago, we pulled up on this property, little old metal building, in the middle of 21 acres. Where we are about right now was a great football field years ago on Sunday afternoon. We used to come out and play touch football. You know how that is. It turned into tackle after a couple of folks got mad, Christians, of course. But the Lord's done a great work in this place. All the many facilities, and thank the Lord for facilities, but thank the Lord for people. There's no church without people. There's no work of the Lord without the Lord's people going out and trying to be a blessing and a help to the community and winning people to Christ. Thank you to those who have stayed by the stuff through the years. Thank the Lord for your pastor, his wife and family that took the work when my dad retired and started his senior citizen donut shop. Took the work and continued to build. That's a blessing. And it's a light that does shine in a dark place. And it's getting darker. Have you noticed that? And when it gets darker, the light shines brighter. And so I am honored to be here this evening. I want to say I always forget Milton when I get up here. You know, I say it's good to be with Dad and Miss Joanne and good to be with Denise. And Milton's probably looking on live stream this evening from Louisiana. He's backslid. He's not in church. He's out working. But we miss you tonight, Milton. He is my brother-in-law. Good to have a couple of my grandsons with me, Justin and Larry from St. Augustine. And we have been on a whirlwind spring break tour. I flew into St. Augustine Friday and was there Saturday, went to church Sunday. We drove here Sunday afternoon and fished Monday and fished Tuesday. Drove to Goldsboro, spent the evening with Miss Cordell, the night with her, and today, and ate a couple of Rudy's hot dogs before I came back. And then here tonight, we'll go fishing tomorrow. We're going to try to skip the lightning and thunder. But fish tomorrow, and we drive back on Friday to St. Augustine. I fly home on Saturday. So it's been an enjoyable, active week. And by the way, during that time, I've had a birthday. I'm 62, and these grandsons are really making me feel 62 degrees. 62 degrees. I'm a little warmer than that, making me feel old for sure. Let's take our Bibles this evening, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms, and I'll meet you there in just a little while. Psalms chapter 60 and verse 4. I want to preach to us tonight about raising his banners high. Raising his banners high. I understand that you are in an Eastern campaign here working to get people in church on Easter. You know, I thank the Lord our churches are certainly back meeting. We are still under many restrictions in the state of Washington. But we are meeting Sunday. We're looking forward to Easter Sunday here in a few weeks. And I think it's a real opportunity for God's people. You know, people come on Easter when they usually don't come otherwise. People are thinking about church a little more. Maybe during this time, they'll think about it a little more than they usually do. Maybe you and I, we ought to be a little more mindful than we usually are. And let's see what God can do on that wonderful, wonderful day. And so, kind of in tune with what you are planning for Easter, your campaign, I want to talk to us about raising his banners high. The banner in the Old Testament is also referred to as a standard or ensign. It was like a flag, if you please. It was colorful. It was very ornamental. They would have emblems, very bright emblems, to be seen from great distances. Sometimes there was an an animal figure on that emblem, and it was displayed on a high pole and certainly was meant to be seen. The standard bearer's duty was to hold that banner high, wave it forth, and stir his fellow comrades and stir their emotions and devotions for the cause at hand. Did I say that the banner was to be seen? It was to be seen. It was also boldly displayed to give fair warning to the enemy that their army had no plans to retreat and no plans to fail in the conquest. They held those banners high. They held those banners boldly. And did I say again, they were meant to be seen. Army Major Daniel Whittle was one of the many whose body was ravished by the Civil War. During those trying, difficult days, he lost his right arm in battle. He was captured as a POW. He was lost and without the Lord. During that time, as a POW, received the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. When that took place, God began to impress in his heart that he should use his experiences in the army to convey imagery of the spiritual warfare of the saints. So in 1885, he wrote the words to the banner of the cross. It was published in 1887. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today, while as ransom ones we sing. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed, and beneath its folds as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Over land and sea, wherever man may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on, marching on. For Christ count everything but lost. And to crown him king, toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross. I'm glad I serve under the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. This evening, I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I serve under King Jesus. Now the Old Testament uses the banner, the standard, the ensign to teach we New Testament Christians that there are to be virtues held high in our lives. There are to be virtues on display. There will be virtues that we are to boldly present as we live day by day and go about our lives in sundry places in this area. And as we display those virtues, we're to bring honor and glory and to the Lord and further His cause. I know, my friend, you understand the warfare is raging today. It's raging, I think, greater than ever before in the United States of America. And we need to be faithful. You and I need to be faithful. We're Bible-believing Christians. We love God. We serve God. We need to be faithful as standard bearers for the King. We need to lift up our banners as Christian people and not be ashamed. I speak this evening, first of all, I want to encourage us to lift up high the banner of truth. Psalms chapter 60 and verse 4, the banner of truth. Psalm 64 says, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. Selah. And praise God, we have the banner of truth. It's the Word of God, and we certainly need to hold this banner high in our day and time. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? We do have a foe. We do have an enemy. There are evil people that are working right now contrary to what you and I are trying to propagate in this world. But you know, we're not the ones spreading lies. We're not propagating falsehoods and false doctrines. the principles and precepts and promises that we believe and hold to are not destroying lives at all today, but they sure are stirring up the devil, our adversary. And that adversary is not happy, and his demons aren't happy, and his children are not happy. We're exposing, as we hold the truth high, we're exposing his deception and his devices and his destructive path. And I thank God for the perfect Word of God. I thank God we have an every word Bible in the King James Bible. I thank God that the Word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And I think you and I need to lift up high the banner of truth and inform this old world. And continue to inform them that if they knew the truth, then the truth would set them free. And that's not free to do anything we want, but it is free to do everything Jesus wants us to do. Folks are so entangled and entrenched and enambered with Satan's lies. God's people need to get enambered with this book right here. God's people need to fall in love with this Bible right here and raise the banner of truth high and hold it firmly for all to see. And don't forget the last word of that verse we read, Selah. Think about it. Think about it. Think about that great responsibility that you and I have with the truth of God. Lift up high that banner. Stand for the truth in these evil days. There's a second banner I want to mention. In Psalms chapter 20 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 5. The Bible says we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. I want to call that the banner of salvation. Hold that high, dear Christian. The banner of salvation. Now, this is a psalm. This is a song. We understand this. This is Israel's songbook, the Psalms. This is a song sung by victorious people. If you look in Psalms chapter 20, you'll see that it's a people who've been delivered and defended by God in verse 1. You'll see that it's a people who've been helped and strengthened by the Lord in verse 2. They're singing about this. This is a people that have seen many foes brought down in verse 8. This is a people that know God's counsel, verse 4. This is a people that know that God hears from His holy heaven, verse 6. In other words, God has proven Himself over and over again to this people, God's people. And that's why some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but they, in the name of the Lord, verse 7. And so there's victory in the Lord. There's victory over the flesh. There's victory over the sway of this world. And there's victory over the devil himself. There's victory in Jesus, Christian. And you and I need to hold the banner high of salvation. You know, not only have we been saved by grace through faith, but our life has been saved. Our life has been salvaged. You know, there's a will of God, and then there's what Satan would have us to do. And Satan would have us go anyway. He doesn't care which way we go. Just don't choose God's way. There's 1,000 ways to ruin your life. But God has saved us. That's an exciting thing. He hath forgiven us of all of our sins. And I'm telling you, you and I ought to shout and spread that salvation wherever that we go. Hold that banner high. Hold that banner high. Don't be mute with that gospel. Don't be bashful with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of that gospel. You and I are redeemed. We're reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're regenerated into the family of God. And we ought to wave that banner proudly for everybody to see. I want to say number three. I want to mention the banner of love. Look in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4. The banner of love. Hold that banner high. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. Solomon loved his wife as expressed in this book of the Bible. He figuratively raised a banner of love over her for all to see and for her to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, he loves me. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, he loves me. She loves to be with him. He loves to be with her. They go together to the banqueting house. They have a wonderful time. They rejoice. They're in love. The Song of Solomon is a picture of the great love the Lord Jesus has for you and for me. My goodness, you and I are a very loved people. Now listen, never say no one loves me. Never use those words, dear Christian, as long as you live. Because that's a false statement right there. God loves you. And His love has been shed abroad in our hearts so that we can love one another. That's exactly right. Yeah, you can love old so-and-so that's not too loving. You can do that. You can love others. God will help you to do that. We're to love one another. You and I are to love all others. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. We should love others. Our Jesus loves others. We're to walk into the steps of our Lord. The old time religion, remember, it makes me love everybody, right? Do you love everybody? Do you love everybody? Is there somebody you hate tonight? Is there somebody you have aught with this evening? I say, if that's so, I don't believe your banner's up like it ought to be. I don't believe it's unfurled and blowing in the breeze for all to see. You know, it is a fruit of the Spirit. We start with the Scripture. The first word is love. Love. Do you love everybody? I mean everybody. If you do, raise that banner high, standard bearer. So high that others may know God loves them because you allow God to love through you. Raise those banners up, Christian. We're in the last days. Raise those banners high. Here's the fourth banner. Turn to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. Isaiah 13, 1. The Bible says the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. This is a prophecy passage. A prophecy passage. Isaiah saw this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He saw this one day. It was to be revealed, but not yet. But not yet. But it will be. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Verse 9, behold the day of the Lord. Behold the day of the Lord cometh. Cruel both with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah is prophesying the doom and destruction. It's going to come upon Babylon and the world in the day of the Lord. This is an announcement by faith. He's not in that period then, of course. This is a prophetic statement. He announces it by faith. He speaks boldly, and why not? Why not? Because evil men and the evil one, Lucifer, has been overcome by the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so, my friend Lucifer, we need to remember, although evil is rampant, you and I are still here. We got a job to do, and it's a big job, and it's an important job. But Lucifer's not omnipotent. And Lucifer's not omniscient. And he's not omnipresent. Fact of the matter is, he's a defeated foe, is what he is. So raise the banner high. Raise this banner high and march onward and forward for the Lord Jesus in these last days. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Stand for the Lord at work. Stand for the Lord in your neighborhood. Stand for the Lord, young people. Stand for the Lord in your family. His cause must not suffer loss. Fight the good fight. Listen, let's finish the course that God has for us and keep the faith. We've got a mission to accomplish and a master to serve and a meeting in the air to attend very soon. Very soon. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is the banner of faith. This is the banner of faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the foe. Raise those banners high. The banner of truth. The banner of salvation. The banner of love. The banner of faith. Then turn with me finally, if you would, to Song of Solomon chapter 6. Song of Solomon chapter 6. And for the fifth and final point, I just want to say, hold high all the banners. Hold high all the banners. Keep those banners up high every day, every hour. Listen, not by your might, not by my might, but the power of God. Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. The Bible says beautiful as Tirzah. This is the bridegroom, by the way, speaking to the bride. Beautiful as Tirzah. Tirzah is a royal city of the ancient kings of Canaan. It's a scenic city. It's a beautiful city. It would be a resort city, a real vacation spot is what it would be. Just a beautiful, beautiful city. As a Song of as Solomon's talking to his bride, he's trying to describe her beauty. Comely as Jerusalem. The holy city, Jerusalem, is beloved of God. It's a lovely city in our Lord's eyes. And we read that, and then we read that phrase, and terrible as an army with banners. Skip down to verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? He's still describing, the bridegroom is describing the bride. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun? In other words, she looketh forth as the morning. She's fair as the moon. She's clear as the sun. In other words, she's easy on the eyes. Boy just loves to look at her. Her beauty's striking. But then you see that phrase again. And terrible as an army with banners. Let me try to explain that just a little. Picture with me, if you would, an army, aligned in rank and file, situated perfectly on the hillside. It's an awesome sight. Breastplates, helmets shining, swords and shields glistening in the sun. This is an army poised and ready to move forward, ready to attack. Banners are raised high. They're blowing in the wind. They're beautiful. They're colorful. The scene is strikingly beautiful to the captain of the army. But it's terrible to the enemy. Terrible to the enemy. It's frightening to the enemy. Listen, as the bridegroom was so pleased and proud of the beauty of his bride, our Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is pleased and quite proud of the Christian that openly displays the banners. All the banners as we serve the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing in His sight. It's a glorious thing in His sight. Truth is unfurled and it is easily to be seen. Salvation, the banner of salvation, and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's beautiful to the Lord. It's beautiful to the Lord. Love being displayed with the example being our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how lovely that is. And faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How lovely, how beautiful it is to see those banners. All the banners, the Bible says. The banner of righteousness on display. The banner of purity on display. The banner of holiness on display. And more, I'm telling you, that faithful display, we need to understand. Our Savior loves it. Our Savior thinks that's just one of the most beautiful things in the world. But let me remind you that it's frightening to Lucifer. It's frightening to the demons of hell. Can I tell you that as you and I live for God and stand for God and strive to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and hold our banners high, can I tell you God loves that? Oh my goodness, He loves that. But I'll tell you, Satan is shaking in his shoes. We need not forget that as we serve in the power of God. So many times we measure God's might by what we think our own might is. When we need to realize that from the get-go, we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing without Him. But with Him, all things are possible. I know we're standing against the devil, but I know we're standing with the Lord. And I know we're standing against all the demons of hell, but I'm telling you, we're standing with all the angels of heaven at our disposal if God's will tells them to come help us, charges them to come help us. These banners are to be seen. These banners are to be lifted high. There would be openly waved until Jesus comes. And I want to say this evening, are you holding high His banner? Are you holding high His banners? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed this evening. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we certainly want you to know Christ. I want you to know the free pardon of sin and full salvation. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we certainly would like to take a Bible and show you how to trust Jesus. We'll give an invitation here, and as pianist plays, encourage you to come forward, meet the pastor up front, tell you about the Lord, and you can be saved. If you're here tonight and say, Brother Cox, I'm not saved, I'm not sure I'm saved, would you please pray for me? I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. Anybody here like that this evening? Anyone here like that this evening? Maybe tonight as a Christian, in examining your life in the light of what I have preached to my church over and over and over again. And I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I believe these are the last days. And oh my goodness, an urgency to do the work of God, to do it all, to do everything He'd have us to do before He calls us up, to not be lackadaisical, to not be ho-hum about the things of God. Meeting with God personally, begging Him for His power, pleading with Him for His anointing. Day by day, as you go to the job, as you're maybe around lost family, maybe God's power to be an encouragement to your family, maybe during discouraging times. You'd say this evening, Brother Cox, I'm saved. I know the Lord, but the banners have not been flying high in my life. The fact is, I've gotten a little cold-hearted. Made a little cool from the things of the Lord. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up, put it back down? Signifying, Brother Cox, pray for me. God bless you and you. Just have an invitation time and just let the pianist play. God spoke to your heart just in your seat right now. If you need to get some things right with the Lord, maybe you come kneel at the altar. Maybe you take care of it right where you are this evening. I don't know. But what I do know is, boy, we need to do more than we ever have before. We need to pray more. We need to have more fervency and urgency in our lives. Let's hold those banners high.